Book My Show Jukebox presents the Control Alt Win podcast. Hi, this is Avis, and I'm going to talk to you today about love, loving, and marriage. The other night, over dinner, my wife Vani and I had an interesting conversation with a friend's daughter. We talked about falling in love and about relationships. We also talked about marriage and examined its relevance in today's world. The young lady asked me, "Uncle Avis, have you ever wondered why people who fall in love fall out of love, particularly after they have married?" I found that question very relevant. This is what I told the young lady. I said, "In most cases, the social contract of marriage has killed the romance between two people. The key is to keep rising in love, to stay loving, than to just fall in love and marry. When you're rising in love, you're loving. It is a present, continuous state. It is beautiful. Even if there is no defined social framework like a marriage, there is so much loving between the people. You see, it is not a marriage that keeps people together. It is their companionship, their relating, their loving. So focus on the loving and not only on the tag of social approval, also known as marriage." This young lady is in a long-distance relationship. Her boyfriend comes from an affluent but conservative family. The boy's parents are keen to have the engagement done now and the wedding sometime soon. The young lady is not sure what she must do. She is wary of walking into a family which does not believe in the Bahu, which is the daughter-in-law, working or following her own dreams and career. The girl's brother is advising the couple not to rush into a marriage. His view is that understanding each other is very critical before you end up in a marriage. He's even advising the couple to live in for some time to further that understanding. I totally agree with him. In fact, although Vani and I are married, I've come to see marriage as not entirely necessary. Let me tell you why I feel so. In the garb of according societal approval and fulfilling religious norms, marriage actually, in fact unnecessarily, limits life between two people. Clearly, the reason why two people relate to each other for long periods of time is not because they are married. It is because there's a friendship between them. They understand each other and are willing to be non-judgmental about each other despite the circumstances. This relating between two people is always deeply personal and mutual and is never limited by gender, class, religion, nationality, or even language. Therefore, to build and sustain this companionship, two people need not be necessarily married. On the other side of this view, people can stop relating to each other after being together or being married for a considerable amount of time. It is very natural. But as we see all around us, it is only marriage that makes a divorce painful and messy. So, if you place societal requirements aside, marriage is, well, irrelevant. What people do today while they are still in a marriage, they can and will do even otherwise. They will either relate to each other and be great friends, or they will grow out of liking each other and move on, or they will stay together and have other relationships that will make them feel complete and fulfilled. But when they do all this without being married, they will do so while being a lot more happier. Simply, they will experience total freedom and zero guilt in doing what they really want to do. If you examine society around you, there isn't unputdownable evidence that supports the utility of marriage beyond being a social contract. It has neither aided the building of great companionships, nor has it prevented people from exploring life outside of its framework. I would any day champion that people just develop great friendships while living together. If they grow out of liking each other, they can and must move on. And if they want to procreate and have children, let it be a mutual choice, not a necessity. Yes, for reasons like buying material assets, if there must be a piece of legal documentation, let there be. But don't get wedded to the legalese. The real contract is in the spirit of togetherness, of a friendship, of relating to each other, of enjoying each other, of giving and receiving, of always being there for each other, no matter what the circumstances are. This is what being loving really means, my friends. Being loving is never static. It is flowing. I share this learning from personal experience. For Vani and me, since we met in October 1987, these 30 years of knowing each other and 29 years of living together have always been a happening time. Our loving is always in the present continuous. The first meeting, the first date, the first gift, the first touch. None of these is an event of the past or a distant memory. Everything seems like it is still happening to us. And that, I believe, is an incredible, incredible blessing. Indeed, finding love in life is a blessing. But loving someone is not about marrying that person. It's not even about providing and protecting. It is about a special friendship. It is about being there no matter what happens. In the initial years of knowing each other, when Vani and I were much younger, our physical presence with each other surely mattered a lot. We have kissed each other on public transport and have waited long spells for the other to join at mealtimes. I remember on my first overseas trip to Tokyo in 1992, in an era when there was no WhatsApp or Facebook, I wept like a baby while calling Vani over the phone. I was missing her a lot. With the years going by, that intensity of longing and belonging has not diminished even a wee bit. Yet, we seem to have transcended the physicality of our relationship. We are blended as soulmates. This spirit of companionship has helped us survive the past decade, which has been tumultuous for us as a family and as a couple. Everything material has been taken away from us. Work, business, money, gadgets, the cars, gold jewelry, investments, insurance, everything that we once owned has gone away. We haven't even been able to buy each other anniversary gifts these past few years. I know it doesn't matter, but can you imagine something as elementary as buying each other birthday and anniversary gifts has not been possible? This year too, we couldn't afford them. Yet, despite the excruciating circumstances of our bankruptcy, between spells of pennilessness and those few times of finding work and money, we have learned to count on each other's strength. That strength, to me, is the key to our special friendship, to our companionship. Labels such as spouse are restrictive. There's an unnecessary social and legal context that they bring along. Companionship, on the other hand, requires no approval or consent. To me, Vani is my best friend. Someone who I know will be there no matter what I do or how I look. And I'm sure Vani feels for me the same way too. Let me tell you, it's not as if we don't disagree or critique each other. We do. We've always had constructive, honest conversations with each other. I must confess that I have taken liberties with her too. I have thrown stuff around the house in bouts of frustration, or I have sulked at times when I have not been able to solve or address the problems that we are faced with. But Vani's style of leadership has been very empowering. She has always held a mirror to me and yet given me the time and space to sort myself out. I'm a year younger than she is. but she treats me like an equal. And that's what good friendship is all about, isn't it? We've also followed a simple, unstated principle all these years. We never tell each other, "I told you so." Which is, we may differ on approaches and views, but when we move forward, we are together in it. When a decision that one of us has taken misfires, we don't display one-upmanship or indulge in blame games. That's how we've been able to face what life has thrown at us. And that's how we've hung on to each other on this incredible roller coaster ride that we are on. When I see so many relationships struggling around us, I feel that people are missing the companionship that once was between them. People drift apart from each other after falling in love and getting married because they have this tendency to subconsciously compartmentalize their lives. One part that was before the marriage and the other part which was after the marriage. So in a sense, the event of a marriage places a full stop. It pronounces the end of one phase of the relationship and begins another. This full stop is totally unnecessary. The truth about life is that everything new, over time, will start seeming and feeling old. In the upheavals of everyday life, therefore, romance does receive lower priority because the courtship is over. The marriage is done, dusted. And in some cases, it is also sadly dead. That's precisely why people who fall in love fall out of love too. But what if you were to imagine that the marriage never took place? Won't the loving be continuous then? That's the way Vani and I treat our life. We married, yes. We married to fulfill social requirements. Period. But we never see our marriage as a defining epochal event. So our companionship thrives. So our loving is ongoing. And we both continue to rise in love. The key to great companionship is to never let marriage take the center stage. Treat marriage, if at all you must marry, like just another date in your courtship calendar. Then the journey together, no matter what the circumstances you both are faced with, will be a continuous, never-ending celebration. Having said that, let me quickly clarify that, to me, living in is not the opposite of marriage. In fact, living in also is irrelevant as a label. That's the way I see it. When you're loving someone, does the label of whether you're married or whether you're living in or whether you're in a long-distance relationship really matter? What matters is that you're loving. Your love is flowing to someone. And you're someone's soulmate. And you can have that person's friendship forever. This means that person is someone who can help you see who you are, accept you for what you are, and in the future may even hold up a mirror to you and critique your actions. Such a person is a true soulmate, who is willing to walk with you to where neither of you has been before. A soulmate is always understanding, demanding, compassionate, forgiving, teaching, and uplifting. Clearly, my friends, beyond what families want, beyond what society dictates, beyond marriage, lie loving and companionship. When you have found that truly loving companion, that soulmate, you will have risen in love too. So my unsolicited advice to my children, Ashirvad and Anchal, and to anyone wanting some perspective is this. Marry only if you want to. Please don't marry because society or family wants you to. Between being stuck in a relationship and being able to relate to each other no matter what, relating to each other is more valuable. Between a marriage and your happiness, obviously, happiness wins hands down any day, doesn't it? The The Control Alt Win podcast is produced by Audio Boom in association with Avis Vishwanathan.